Another year ahead of us, I thought about starting it with something that was significant to all of us, and it's communion. Over the years, like me, I'm sure you've celebrated communion, you know, in different ways. Different churches may vary in how they celebrate it. But the one thing that they all have in common is the table. There always seems to be a communion table of sorts. Some are simple, some are fancy. There's always a table. And you might wonder, what is the significance of this table that holds the elements, that holds the bread and the cup? Well, it's significant because a table is where we gather together. Often, it's to share a meal. And I suppose a table is not absolutely necessary for communion, but it's good to remember that that first communion took place around a table. And in particular, a dinner table. That's why the Bible refers to communion both as the Lord's Supper and the Lord's table. So as we take a closer look at the Lord's table this morning, we want to see what is it that's so significant about gathering round the Lord's table for communion. Well, to begin with, we know that Jesus shared his Last Supper with his disciples. Matthew 26, verse 20 tells us, when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. This morning, there's too many of us to recline around the table. But we do have it as a focal point for us. It's not just about somewhere to place the bread and the wine. Our reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're reading verse 23 to 26. And here we find it's the Apostle Paul who condenses this event that took place, one which we still take part in today, where he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So here we find this, it's a place to remember Jesus. So that's where the Lord's table is first and foremost, a place to be reminded of him. When Jesus sat around the table with his disciples and he gave them the bread and the cup, twice he told them, "Do this in remembrance of me." Short and simple. And when we take communion, we think of Jesus. He is our focus. He is our reason for being here. And therefore, we remember him. There are three things in particular we should think about as we remember Jesus at the Lord's table. And the first is to remember his sufferings. When we look at verse 23 and 24 in that scripture where the Apostle Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" The breaking of the bread is significant in communion. You know, it was only after Jesus broke the bread that he then told his disciples, "This is my body, which is for you." And so it's not just the bread, but the broken bread that represents Christ's sufferings in his body. So therefore, as we take the bread that's been broken, we should remember Jesus' suffering. Not only his physical sufferings in the body, we should remember his agony of prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. We should remember his unlawful arrest in the middle of the night. Also remember his unfair trial and the false accusations that were brought against him. We should remember Judas' betrayal, Peter's denial, and all his disciples abandoning him at his greatest hour of human need. So we need to remember the brutal treatment he received at the hands of the soldiers. So Jesus broke the bread and told his disciples, "This is my body, which is for you." We also remember his death on the cross. We read that after Jesus gave his disciples the bread, in the same way after supper he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." So the cup is a reminder of Jesus' death. It's a symbol of Jesus' blood poured out in death upon the cross. And so the cup is a reminder not only that Jesus died, but he was actually killed. Jesus didn't die of old age or accident or illness. He was executed for a crime that he did not commit. And he was also killed in one of the most brutal and painful methods known to man. So the cup is a reminder of all of this. So as we take the cup, we should remember Jesus' death upon the cross. And the next thing is to remember why he did it. He did it for us. He did it for our sins. The Gospel of Matthew records Jesus' words in this way as he gave his disciples the cup. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Jesus did not go unwillingly to the cross. He did not just die a martyr's death. He went to the cross for a purpose. He went there to die in our place so that our sins may be forgiven, so that the slate could be wiped clean. This is why we pause before taking communion, to examine our lives and to confess our sin before the Lord, to remember why Jesus suffered and died, so that we might be forgiven for our sins. So the Lord's table is not only a place to remember Jesus, it's also a place to celebrate God's forgiveness and grace. If communion was only about remembering Jesus' suffering and death, then that would make communion a pretty depressing time, if that was all that we were to focus on. There is a solemn side to communion, but communion should also be a time of celebration. We were separated from God because of our sins, but Christ died so that we might be forgiven. And so communion is a time where we can also thank God for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." You know, the old covenant required the sacrifice of animals as prescribed by the law. But God made a new covenant with us in Jesus. Jesus was the final sacrifice for sins, and whoever puts their faith in him is forgiven. So we thank God the Father for his great love in sending Christ. Thank God the Son for laying down his life for you and I. Thank God the Holy Spirit for coming into your life and washing you clean. Thank God for the forgiveness of sins. And so we come to marvel in God's gracious invitation to come. God did not have to invite us to his table, but he did. Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." You'll find that in John chapter 6. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, it's because Jesus first invited you to come. God the Father has graciously drawn us to himself and sat us down at the table with his Son. Not because of anything righteous that you and I have done, but simply by his own goodness and his grace. Salvation is not by works, it's the gracious gift of God. Something that is received by faith in Jesus Christ. And so the Lord's table is also a place of celebration, a place to celebrate God's forgiveness and grace. But it goes beyond that. It's also a place to share in Christian fellowship. Christian fellowship always has two dimensions. You have the vertical and you have the horizontal. I was like a priest blessing you there. That was not intended, okay? You have both the vertical and the horizontal. So here we share in fellowship with Christ, that vertical dimension where we share with the risen Christ. And there's a reason why we actually eat the bread and drink the cup in communion. And I wonder, have you ever thought about that? Why we actually partake within it? If the Lord's Supper was just a time to remember Jesus and celebrate God's forgiveness, we actually wouldn't have to eat or drink anything. We could simply lay out the bread and the cup as reminders. We could break the bread to symbolise Christ's sufferings and pour out the cup to symbolise his death. But Jesus instructs us. He instructs us to eat the bread and drink the cup. And why is it that he does that? Because in partaking of the Lord's Supper, we share in fellowship with Christ. Just as food and drink nourish us physically, so Christ nourishes us spiritually. He is the vine. We are the branches. We get our spiritual life from him. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 8, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Not taste physically, but rather come experience fellowship with Christ and see for yourselves that he is good. You know, there's nothing magical or supernatural in the elements themselves. The bread remains bread. The grape juice remains grape juice. These are symbols of Christ's suffering and death. And as we partake of them and take them into our bodies, they're a reminder of the rich fellowship that we share with Christ through the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. So that's a vertical dimension of Christian fellowship that takes place in communion. We share in fellowship with Christ. And then we also share in fellowship with each other. That's the horizontal dimension of Christian fellowship. Notice that we don't eat and drink the bread, eat the bread and drink from a cup alone. It's something that we do together. We share in the Lord's Supper together. So the bread is not only symbolic of Christ's body and sufferings, but it's also symbolic of the church. 1 Corinthians 10:17 says, "Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf." And as believers in Christ who partake of the one loaf together, we are reminded that Christ lives within each of us through the Holy Spirit. And so through that, we then have fellowship with each other. So true Christian fellowship always has both this vertical and horizontal dimension. We share in fellowship with Christ and we share in fellowship with each other. The Lord's table is a place to share in that Christian fellowship together. And so we also proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, until he returns. So the Lord's Supper also has a forward thrust to it. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:26, "Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So the Lord's Supper not only looks backwards in history to Christ and the cross, but it also looks forward in time to when Christ will return. So we remember Jesus and what it is that he's done for us. And we look forward to Jesus and his soon return. And so when you consider all these things, of what these elements mean to us, it's so personal and yet it's also corporate. It has both. Only God could come up with something like this. There's such symbolism that helps us relate to what it is that Christ has done and continues to do, and will continue to do for others who come to know him for themselves. And so I close with an invitation this morning. All are invited, all are welcome. It's an invitation to come to the Lord's table. The only requirement is that you come through faith in Jesus Christ. Could there be a better way to begin the new year? With our focus is in Jesus. It's not about plans and preparation. It's not about resolution. It's about Jesus. It's about thanking him, giving him the glory, showing our gratitude through celebrating around the table together. You know, there's a song that's going to be played during this opportunity to come to the table. Take time to consider the invitation that we received. And let's give all the glory to God, because he has provided everything through his Son and his Holy Spirit. And so we take this opportunity to come to the table of our Lord. Just as this song plays, just take a moment before you come and take the elements. Thanks.
This is the table of the Lord. This is the table of the Lord. He says, come. Not because you are good, he says, come. Come because you are broken. Says, come, not because you are full, he says, come, come, because you are empty, come if you're empty, this is a table of the Lord. Is the table of the Lord. He says, come. Not because you are chief. He says, come.